Did you know that whenever people have a sense that they are fatherless, nobody to take good care of them, that's when people started to begin to have all kinds of problems in their lives that may eventually lead to physical problems. Whenever people begin to lose the sense that they have a father, a loving father that's watching them, or a good shepherd. Jesus is pictured as a good shepherd to take good care of them. And I must learn to protect myself. I gotta make sure I do everything just right. That is when stress happens. Wow. And when stress is prolonged, it can create all kinds of problems. Long before stress is, they have a sense that nobody cared for me. Did you hear that? I don't have a father. So no matter how old you are, your biological father may have gone to be with the Lord. But God says, I'll never leave you fatherless. That means I'm your Abba, Daddy. And Jesus said, I'm your good shepherd.
Yes.
And you shall not be in want. You shall not have a lack of toilet paper. You shall not have a lack of eggs or cheese or meat or whatever. Okay? I believe, you know, the Lord will bless our government people to be able to make sure the supply chain will always be smooth so that people will not be running out of all that. We pray for those in authorities, right? So that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So I just speak blessings for our governments. I speak blessings for those who are in authorities to have the wisdom to make sure the supply chain is uninterrupted. And so there will always be enough. Everything that we need, the Lord will provide, because it is the Lord is the one we put our trust in. But God uses people, and we are believing for that by the grace of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to give you the secret on how to guard your heart and your mind. Your mind is like your outer gate. The enemy can still shoot fiery darts sometimes. Have you ever had like thoughts fly through your head? The more you meditate on that thought, eventually it can get into your inner gate, which is your heart. That is when it is really critical. Your heart can work for you. It can also work against you.
Mm-hmm.
So what you are meditating on, what you are focusing on, that thing, okay, or that person will become bigger and bigger in your life.
Yeah.
And remember, we want to make God bigger and not any other person and not any other thing in our life. Only Jesus Christ needs to be bigger and bigger in our lives. That's why I don't even want to talk about viruses. It's not even a subject. It's like it's already defeated, right?
Yes, it is.
Jesus has finished the work. The idea of finish is that all the problems that we can ever face in their entire lifetime, nothing caught our loving Heavenly Father by surprise.
That's right.
It has all been taken care of at the cross.
Amen.
And so, you know, my job as a pastor is to help people to magnify Jesus.
Yes.
And the cross, what He has done at the cross, the blood that was shed, more and more, so that now your heart will be working for you instead of against you.
Yes.
Because anything that we focus on, we are actually giving weight to that matter or to that person. You are giving glory to your problem whenever you meditate on your problem. We want to glorify Jesus. He is supposed to be bigger. He's supposed to be my focus. And where is Jesus now? He is sitting at the right hand of God,
Amen.
The Bible says. That means He's sitting there, remember, not on the left hand of God. Why does He sit on the right hand of God? Not for His own sake. He has always been God from the very beginning. He is sitting on the right hand of God for your sake, to let you know that I'm right with God. That's why I'm at the right hand of God, and that you are today the righteousness of God in Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, having purged all of our sins, He is sitting at the right hand of God,
Amen.
The Bible says. So when we talk about focusing on the Lord, it's not so much as focusing on the commandments and the do's and the don'ts of what the Lord is saying, but we are to focus rather on the person of Jesus Himself, You know what? It's not religion. It's a relationship. It's the person of Jesus that we're focusing. And then the holy living comes out as a fruit out of that meditation of who He is, sitting at the right hand of God as your righteousness now. So there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the fact that He purged your sins. In other words, if there is still a sin in your life that has not been fully forgiven and taken care of by Jesus at the cross, He cannot be sinning. Whatever death, whatever pestilences, whatever diseases that comes as a result of sin is fully taken care of if there is one pestilence, if there is one disease, if there is one whatever, right, problem that comes as a result of sin that He did not purge perfectly at the cross, He could not be sitting right now at the right hand of the Father. And the fact that our beloved Lord and Savior, He's not caught off guard. Nothing caught Jesus by surprise, and nothing would cause Him to be in a panic mode, have to get up, you know, oh man, I gotta take care of this, I gotta take care of that. Nothing caught our God by surprise, and guess what? Your Jesus is still cool. Your Jesus is still calm today. He is still sitting at the right hand of the Father. Alright, again, I've been promising how to guard your heart. Turn with me to Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7. Again, the topic is how to guard your heart and mind. Be careful for nothing. Wow, that's a good word. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, look at what it says here. Let your requests be made known unto God. Okay? There is something, you don't even have to dive into the Greek here. That's why I like the King James Version Bible, because they're taken straight from the original Greek writing. And Barbara, you are a teacher, so you know the difference between active tense and a passive tense. Am I right? Mm-hmm. Now, when you look at here, it says, let your request be made known unto God. It's not active. It's a passive tense. Did you notice that? Mm-hmm. So let your request be made known unto God. Now, I used to take this verse as I gotta pray more a lot to the Lord, which is true. That's one application for it, because it says pray with all kinds of prayers and supplication. So it's okay to interpret this verse as saying you gotta pray more, because that's what it says, by prayer and supplication. But when you study it carefully here, it says let your requests be made known unto God. So it's not actually you who are making that request known, as in you gotta pray more, you gotta pray harder. It's actually let your request be made known. That's a passive. Yeah, that's a passive tense. In other words, this is actually an exhortation to allow the Holy Spirit in you to be praying through you constantly. Because it says, let your request be made known unto God. So it's the Holy Spirit who knows perfect prayers, the perfect intercession, to let your prayers be made known. Because sometimes we don't even know how to pray. Sometimes we don't know how to pray anymore. But here it says, let your requests be made known unto God. This is actually an exhortation for us to depend on the Holy Spirit more. Mm-hmm. It is not an exhortation to say, you gotta pray harder. You gotta pray an overnight prayer more. Or, you know, the things that we used to kind of, you know, hurt here in the past, you gotta, can't you stay for an hour? You could not pray for an hour. I mean, when it's taken out of context, even though that's the word of the Lord, it can create condemnation. It's like, man, you know, I guess this thing happened. Maybe I did not pray long enough, or I did not pray with enough faith, or all this condemnation that's coming. But when we study it carefully, here it says, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. It's a passive tense. Mm-hmm. That means somebody else is praying for you. Mm-hmm. And that someone, right, is the best prayer warrior, the best intercessor, if you will, that God has already put in you, who is the Holy Spirit in you. And our part is just to allow that prayer to flow through us and let the Holy Spirit be the one who make known our requests unto God. What a restful life. That's deep. Because now it's no longer the burden on me.
Right.
You know, it's like on the Holy Spirit. I can rest now. All I need to do is allow the Holy Spirit to make this request, right? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving be known unto God. So my part is just thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This problem is already under your feet. Oh, Ramalabashan. Oh, that's the Holy Spirit, right? Making the request known. It says here with thanksgiving. So my part is just, well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This thing is already taken care of. Thank you, Lord. I can rest, Lord. Thank you. And then you go, Ramalabashan. You let the Holy Spirit make that request be known. Because it's a passive tense. And now look at what happens. Verse 7, right? Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, remember Christ our shalom, right? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So how do you keep or guard, in another translation, your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus? Is by the peace of God. That's exactly what the scripture says, right? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Look at how restful the scripture is. It's not even my job to guard my heart and my mind with my own strength. It is the peace of God that is actively guarding my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Wow! What a restful message. What a Christ our shalom message today to let us know the burden is not on you, number one, to make all that request known. You just pray in tongues. You allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you. Your part is just with thanksgiving. That means you just praise the Lord and say, thank you, Lord. You know, whatever people are saying, you know, in the news or on social media, Lord, I thank you, whatever that problems, you've already put those things under Jesus' feet. And I'm in Jesus. That means it's already under my feet as well. Holy Spirit, keep on making the request known. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And then what happens? It says, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's like an invisible shield to protect, it says, your heart, again, your inner gate, your heart is your inner gate, right? And then your mind, your outer gate, right? Through Christ Jesus, and this peace, it says, passeth all understanding. It is a supernatural Christ, our shalom, peace that only comes through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As you meditate on His Word and you allow the Holy Spirit to flow in you.
Mm-hmm.
And then constantly it says, it will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then there will be no pestilence. There will be no sicknesses. There will be no diseases that can come near your dwelling place, because the peace of God shelter you. The peace of God protects you. The peace of God keeps you from harms and dangers. And God wants us to remain in His peace. Because the Bible says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall rest under the shadow of the Almighty. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Man, that is the Word of God. I think it's a good appetizer. It's a good appetizer that I think, you know, it's really, maybe it's going to be as good as the main entree today. We'll see. But it's such a good Word of Christ for us to be reminded. You know what? That secret that I mentioned, how to guard your heart and your mind, especially during these times, right? Especially when you walk to the groceries, do not allow your eyes to be dominated by fear. right? Guard your five senses, what you see, what you hear, what you taste, what you smell, what you feel. And God says, I'm going to make it easy for you.
Yes.
You just allow my peace to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
Your part is to keep on hearing the word, right? And allow the Holy Spirit to make your request known. So it's not even you, it's the Holy Spirit. And I already shared with you, I think last week, that we can actually pray in tongues in our heart. I know this is kind of like something that I've never heard personally that's been taught. I was taught that you can only pray in tongues if you speak it out loud. But I find out in scripture, you can actually pray in tongues in your heart. And I will expound to you a bit on where you can find that in scripture. Today I'm going to show you from the scripture to set you free that you can be praying constantly in tongues, even in your heart, without necessarily having any audible voice. Maybe only your lips moving, however, ways that you do to help you concentrate easier. Because it's not easy when you pray in tongues in your heart. You can easily be distracted with all kinds of stuff flying through your head. Sometimes you don't know if you're praying or you're just thinking about something else. So this is a bit more advanced level. For people who are used to praying in tongues out loud, don't change. Continue to pray in tongues out loud. But I'm just encouraging people who may not be praying in tongues out loud that you will not be condemned as if you're not praying in tongues as much as you can, because you can actually, even sleeping on your bed, right, your mind is resting, and in your heart you're constantly praying in tongues, and you can sleep very well. All right, and I'm going to show you again from 1 Corinthians 14 verse 15. I can pray in the Spirit and I can also sing in the Spirit. So that's the context. Now, you will find out in another passage, I believe in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, I forgot which verse, Apostle Paul is saying, I want you to sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. I'm sure you've heard that verse before, right? Singing, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Now, you have to take these two, 1 Corinthians 14 and Ephesians 5 together, to understand that you can actually pray in tongues also in your heart. Because in 1 Corinthians 14 it says, I will pray with my mind, right? And I will pray also with my spirit. I'll pray in English and I'm also going to pray in tongues. Question, when you pray in English, is it possible for you to pray in English in your heart? Of course you can pray in your heart, because God can look at your heart and see what is in your heart. That's a common knowledge, right? You can pray in English in your heart. Now the question is, can I pray in tongues in the same way in my heart and the Lord can still hear my language? And for the longest time, I was like, well, I can't find the scripture that says you can really pray in tongues, you know, in your heart, and God hears it, right? But here is where the scripture brings it all together. The Holy Spirit reveals unto me that God can still hear your heavenly language in your heart when you pray in your heart to Him.
Amen.
And I was completely convinced when He showed me Ephesians 5 and 1 Corinthians 14 together. When you bring it together, it begins to gel, and I can understand. Here's the reasoning. I can pray in the Spirit and I can also sing in the Spirit. That's what 1 Corinthians 14 says. And then Ephesians 5 says, I want you to make melodies and sing in your heart unto the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14 says, I can sing with my spirit. Ephesians 5 says, you can do that in your heart. You can sing in your heart. Now, if it's true for me to be able to sing in the Spirit in my heart, then the other must be true. I can also pray in the Spirit in my heart, because it goes together in 1 Corinthians 14. I will pray and I will also sing. So if I can sing in my heart, I can also pray in my heart, in the spirit. Everybody sees the connection now?
No.
Now, if you can sing in the spirit in your heart, definitely you can also pray in tongues in your heart. And the Lord will still be able to honor that and hear that. But again, I believe for a new person, like a new believer who just received the Holy Spirit, it will be easier for them to pray in tongues out loud. Because it's easier to focus and to concentrate knowing. Yes. Yes. So definitely as much as possible, of course, pray in tongues out loud as much as possible. But what do you do when you're in a public place? It's not practical for me to pray out loud in tongues because people will give you plenty of space, right? People is like, man, somebody, this guy is insane. He's speaking things that I don't understand. Now, although you know you're speaking to God, right? But you're no longer walking in love. You're causing offense to other people. But God wants us to live in peace. And He has revealed us today to let you know, hey, when you cannot pray in tongues out loud, or when you're too tired in your bed, you can't even speak verbally, God says it's okay to speak in tongues in your heart and continue to let your request known. And then what happens? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So this is an exhortation in this appetizer, beloved of God, for you to guard your heart and your mind by just allowing the Holy Spirit to flow in you, even praying in tongues in your heart to the Lord. And see the powerful peace, and the Word of God cannot lie here. It is the peace of God that will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And when your heart and your mind is fully guarded, fully protected by the peace of God, the peace of God will permeate every part of your soul. It will permeate every part of your brain. It will permeate every part of your cell. And if there is any cancer cells, it will be totally swallowed up. Because your immune system, listen, your immune system will be so strong whenever you're praying in tongues that the problem is not cancer. Cancer cells, okay, cannot kill anyone as long as your immune system is so strong that those cells will be eaten up by your immune system. Do you understand? And I'm sure you've heard the research done by a researcher in Oral Roberts University,
yes,
Dr. Carl Pearson. They put like, I don't want you to call it electrodes. Okay, I'm not a scientist. Electrodes on the brain, and they studied people who pray in tongues for an extended period of time. They find out that their immune system was boosted between 35% to 40%. But forget about science. Look at what the Word of God is saying, right? Whenever you allow your request be made known unto God, you're praying in tongues, there'll be that peace that is so amazing, it will permeate every part of your soul and your body, and you don't have to worry about cancer, you don't have to worry about any viruses, you don't have to worry about any bacterias, harmful bacterias, you don't have to be worrying about any diseases, you don't have to worry about you're getting old. You don't have to worry about anything like that whenever the peace of Christ is guarding your heart. Man, I just shared something that money cannot buy here.
That's right.
I just shared something that fitness, good dietary restrictions cannot buy us. Because this is something, it's a precious treasure of God that God wants to reveal to His saints. And God says, above all, guard your heart, because out of it flows the springs of life. If you guard your heart well, I believe this is the word of the Holy Spirit for everyone who hears this word. You guard your heart. That means you guard what's inside.
Yes.
And I will guard everything that is outside.
Amen.
That's good.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Let me say it one more time.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is to guard your heart, what is inside. And this is God saying,
amen,
I will take care of what is outside.
Amen.
Your part is just to guard your inside, your heart.
And I'll take care of the rest.
I'll take care of all the outside. Amen? Hallelujah. It's all about guarding your heart. It seems like the theme is very clear here for the word today. From the appetizer until the main entree, the Lord keeps on emphasizing to us again and again, as if one time is not enough. Guard your heart. Above all, guard your heart. If you need to turn off that TV, if you need to turn off that phone, all right, in order for you to better concentrate on what the Word is saying, I think it's better for us to remove the distractions and give glory unto the Lord and not focusing on anything that is creating fear. I don't have to panic when everybody else is panicking. But Lord, I'm going to learn to abide in your word that says I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to make my request known unto you. You know I need all these things. I don't have to overplan things. By the way, I still encourage people to plan your days well, what you want to do. But not to the point where you are stressed by contingency upon contingency plan, contingency plan. And then it's like, Lord, you know, I'm no longer putting my faith in you taking good care of me. I'm more putting my faith in my careful planning, in my smarts and my ability. And God is saying today here, I'll take care of everything outside for you. Everything that you need. Do not worry what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall wear. For your Father in heaven know that you need all these things.
Amen.
And He will take good care of you. You guard your heart and I'll take care of everything else outside. And one of the best place to guard our heart is in the house of God.
Amen.
When we assemble together as a church, as the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The importance of guarding our hearts. Because as the day approaching, Jesus said, don't be surprised. All these pestilences, all these earthquakes, all these things, the signs of the last days, it will come to pass. But for those who abide in my word, Jesus wants to assure you, not a single strand of your hair will be hurt. Not a single harm will happen to you as you allow my word and you plant my word deep in your heart. God is saying, those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High will rest under the shadow of the Almighty. God is promising us, church, as long as we just rest, we let not our heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He said, my shalom peace I give to you, but I cannot guard your heart for you. That's a choice, a free will choice that you have. That's why he says, for your part, let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. Make sure you're hearing the word of Jesus, the word of Christ. You don't know all kinds of good things that's happening. Everyone under the sound of my voice that is hearing this anointed word, the Holy Spirit is healing your body. The Holy Spirit is repairing the cells of your body that may have been damaged because of stress. The Lord is repairing, and it's pain-free. It's a surgery that is so intricate that no human doctor's hands can do. The Holy Spirit is operating in your heart, in your mind, and it will touch your entire body. Every cell of your body is whole. Yes. Under the sound of my voice. The Holy Spirit is protecting like a wrapper around every cell of your body so that it cannot be hurt by the evil things in this world. Yes, you are in this world, but you are not of this world. I do not pray, Jesus said, Father, that you take them out of this world, but I pray that you protect them, keep them from evil. And today the Lord has already given us that exhortation. The way that God can protect us is by us abiding in His Word, to allow that Word to guard our heart and our mind in Christ Jesus. Remember, last week we talked about part 9. It was from verse 9. Guess what? Verse 10 is what we're going to talk about as the main entree today. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. Turn with me, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. This is the main entree now. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. It's a little bit deep, but I believe the Holy Spirit will give us the revelation. In the dispensation of the fullness of the times, and we're living in the end times now. The time is coming very soon. It says that He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. That means God's desire is not for people to look forward to the grave, to die and go to heaven. His desire is to, it says, that He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, up there right now in heaven, and which are on earth in Jesus, so that Jesus would have all the glory and God the Father be our all in all on earth as it is in heaven. And it says it's in the dispensation of the fullness of that times. In other words, the time is coming soon. The Lord is coming back soon. The time is approaching. That's why the devil is so afraid. That's why the devil is creating all kinds of pestilences, creating all kinds of problems in this world. The devil knows that his lease on earth is running out soon. It says, in the dispensation of the fullness of the times. In other words, God already circled in His calendar, if you will. Alright? And He already know the fullness of the times here has to culminate on what my Son has already done and for the glory of my Son, who is the one, right, who has already done everything for us, right, to be able to be saved through what He has done at the cross. Because Colossians 1:16, it says, for by Him, talking about Jesus, by Him all things were created. So Jesus is God. Because it says, by Him, by Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. And now God says, I don't want my people to be looking forward to their grave, so that they can all go up to heaven. Because God's desire is, in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He wants to gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. And then Colossians 1:16 again, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. In other words, the creation is groaning. It's like saying, Oh, when will the sons of God appear? When will the daughters of God appear? Because the church is the body of Jesus. When will the Christians begin to rise up and to realize Christ that is already in them, which was the thing that we talked about last week, right? Verse 9. Christ in you, the hope of the glory, that mystery that we talked about last week. Oh, if they just realize Christ in them. Because the earth is groaning as if the earth is crying, saying, I belong to Jesus. It wants to return to its rightful owner. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He wants to gather together in one all things in His Son, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. And it's only right for God to do so, because His Son, Jesus Christ, right? He was the one, the Bible says, that by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. So whenever we live our life not for Jesus, in other words, we're doing our own thing, and we feel like, well, you know what, for me the meaning of life is making more money, you know, or they're no longer living for Jesus, that's when unfulfillment in life is experienced. They do not really have the true satisfaction that they're looking for. They thought that if I just have a happy marriage, then I will be a happy person. It says here, all things were created through Him and for Him. When you live for Him, alright, yes, everything else will be taken care of. You have a great marriage, you have a successful business, successful school. But people have the priorities backwards. They focus on all those things and they're not focusing on Jesus Christ, who is the sole reason of why all things were created. Because all things were created through Him and for Him. Many people, even celebrities, they cannot find fulfillment in life in spite of the fame and the riches, because they were created for Jesus. Amen. Amen. God's not against people to become a celebrity, become successful, being rich. God's not against that. But whenever they lost the sense of purpose in their lives and they forgot why they are here. You are here, the Bible says, all things were created through Him and for Jesus Christ. It's not for anybody else. It's for Jesus Christ.
That's not preached enough.
Because we sometimes make something else more important than Him. When all things were created through Him and for Him.
Wow, that's a sermon by itself.
Well, it is the main entree already. It is the main entree already. Man, aren't you glad? Aren't you blessed to be hearing? Man, this is mighty blessed. This is like why we want to guard our heart here. It's no longer just so that, oh, I want to guard my heart so that the virus cannot come near me. That's just too small, right? God has a bigger purpose than not just getting sick. God's purpose for you is beyond just healing. God's purpose for you, beloved of God, is for you to know the mystery of His will, which is Christ is in you, to manifest in this world so that you can find fulfillment in your life, to be able to possess everything that God wants you to possess here on earth, because all things were created through Him and for Jesus Christ. So when you use your talent, when you use your business, when you use your skills, when you use, you know, everything for Jesus Christ, you are in line with your original design of why you were created, and your universe will be a harmonious whole. And I'll prove it to you
That is exactly what the Bible is saying. We were talking about Colossians 1:16, right? Verse 17 is after verse 16. So turn with me to Colossians 1:17. And He is before all things. And in Him all things consist. He is before all things. And in Him all things consist. So Jesus is before all things. And in Jesus all things consist. Now consist is not very clear here in the New King James Version. But in another translation there, all things consist is translated as all things are held together. He's like a super glue. Jesus is like the super glue that will hold your universe together as one harmonious whole. You want a happy marriage in your life? You want a happy, successful career in your life? You want a happy, successful academics in your school? When you make Jesus as the reason why you are here, you're here for Him. And you flow with the Holy Spirit. You continue to guard your heart, hearing the Word of God, praying in tongues, allow the Holy Spirit to flow through you. The Bible says, Jesus is before all things, and in Jesus, all things consist. Your life will be held together as one harmonious whole. Christ is that super glue in your life. If you want your life to be integrated, if you want your body to be strong, integrated, not becoming weak, your body, even your physical body, your cells, even your cells are all held together, it says here, by Jesus Christ. Man, we are so blessed beyond measure to be hearing this gospel truth. And the Lord will make it clear. The Holy Spirit will give you layer upon layer of revelation as you hear to the Word of God again and again. There's a deeper and deeper revelation. Because we have found here the purpose of our lives and the reason why we are here. It is all for Jesus. Your happy marriage, your happy relationships, it's for Him. Your children, your grandchildren, they're all for Jesus. Right? Everything and everyone in your life, if you flow with the Holy Spirit, you make sure they're all for Jesus. Then your universe will be a harmonious whole. Because the Bible says, once again, He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. All things are whole together in Christ Jesus. Even your body will be so strong and held together if you live according to your original design when God created you for Jesus Christ. I'm just going to throw in one extra final nugget here. In your body, in the atoms, when they look into the atoms, there are protons. Why these protons that is in your body, the positive charges, they are actually lumping together instead of breaking apart? Because remember, positive and positive is supposed to be repelling each other. But in your body, in the atoms of your body, the protons, which is the positive charges, they're actually glued together. I believe it's because what the Bible is saying, in Him all things consist. Jesus Christ is that super glue that holds the atoms in your body together. So the more you flow into the plans and purposes of Jesus, the more you flow, right? In alignment with your original design that you were created for Jesus, the stronger your body, the more held together you are because of Jesus Christ. In Him all things consist. Amen and amen. Well, church, I'm going to let you go now. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. All the time.
That's what I was talking about.
God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Please stand up right now. The Lord bless you, and the Lord has gone before you to protect you from all the traps of the enemy. The Lord bless your going out and your coming in. The Lord has sent His angels to protect your ways, for His angels encamps around those who fear Him, those who worship the Lord. In Jesus' name, you are blessed, highly favored, and deeply loved.